Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the BizConnect radio show this sunny Monday afternoon. We haven't been able to say that for a while, have we? As always, we've got two super guests with us in the studio today. I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves in a minute. You can follow us on X or Twitter, as it used to be called, at Kent_Biz. We also have dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show pages. And we also have a website, kentbizconnect.co.uk. And you can find out information about all of our forthcoming guests and also listen to previous shows via that website. So if you're an Ashford-based business or organisation and you've got an interesting story to tell, we'd love to have you on the show. Do get in touch with us through one of those social media channels and we'll have a conversation. I think without further ado, we'll introduce our two troublemakers that we've got with us today. Lifelong friends who are no doubt going to give me an incredibly hard time on the airwaves today. I'm going to start to my right. Who are you?
Good afternoon, Martin. My name is Cheryl Corsbrook, and I am a construction consultant.
Cheryl, lovely to have you with us. And to my left?
I am Lynette Wood, and I'm a National Account Director for the Q Hotel Collection.
Brilliant. Lynette, likewise. So today we're going to be talking all things construction in Kent, and we're going to be talking all things hospitality as well. And Lynette is probably, or her company, is probably best known locally for the Ashford International Hotel. That's right, isn't it, Lynette?
That's correct,
one of
Martin.
Your group hotels. So we'll be talking a little bit about that as well. So do stay with us. I think what we're going to do now is play a little bit of music. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Lynette and Cheryl in a bit more detail. So join us after this.
Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Welcome back, everybody. That was a nice, lively opener to the show today, wasn't it? And the music today is courtesy of our two studio guests, Lynette and Cheryl. As we said before the break, we're going to be talking all things construction. But I think what we'll do is we'll start off with all things hospitality, Lynette, if we can. So give us an introduction to yourself, your role at Q Hotels Collection, and yeah, talk us through the hospitality industry and what's going on at the moment.
And before I do, Martin, I'd just like to say, I think you were proper boogieing away there, weren't you, to the music. I'm going to take a video next time a song comes on, just so we can show everybody how much you're enjoying the show today. So I'm Lynette Wood, and I'm a National Account Director for the Q Hotels Collection, and those in Ashford will know that the Ashford International is the closest house to you, hotel. And we've got 19 hotels within the portfolio, ranging from Westwood in Scotland all the way down to Ashford in Kent, and there's 19 hotels available for meetings and events, golf and spa.
That's quite a portfolio, isn't it? 19 hotels up and down the country. And I see your social media all the time, and you're always visiting another hotel somewhere. And in fact, I think you're off somewhere this afternoon, aren't you, after the show?
I'm not anywhere this afternoon, no. Tomorrow, I'm off to Nottingham.
Tomorrow,
yeah. I was going to get the train up. Blimey, they're so expensive. So I'm actually going to drive to Nottingham tomorrow. So Nottingham tomorrow. Last week, I can't remember where I was last week. Oh, I don't know. It all goes into one, doesn't
it? Just a whirlwind, isn't it?
Just a whirlwind. But our hotels are beautiful, so I don't mind staying in them.
So you are a National Account Director?
Yeah, it's a fancy title, isn't it?
It is,
really?
Isn't it?
Just means they work in sales, if I'm honest with you, Martin.
Okay.
Nothing fancy about it.
So does that mean that you've got clients that are national?
Yep.
And may well need a hotel in any of those locations that you've just mentioned?
Yes. Yeah, so those that are local might know Theresa Morgan. Theresa Morgan is the business development manager for the Ashford International Hotel, and she looks after the accounts and businesses that will just use Ashford. And I manage accounts that use Ashford, but also that use any of our other 18 hotels as well. And national accounts, that's what my job is.
Mm-hmm. So these are by nature high value clients that you have a kind of retained ongoing relationship with, so they need looking after.
They need looking after. They need a bit of Lynette love.
Yeah.
That's what I give them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell us about that role. You know, what does that actually entail in terms of, is it a proactive role? Is it kind of liaising with your key contact within that organisation? Or is it kind of being as responsive as you possibly can when they pick up the phone to you?
I think it's in terms of any account management role, I suppose you have to make sure that you keep in contact with them. They're fully up to date what's happening within the Q Hotel collection, building relationships with them, and not just obviously maybe a key contact, but deeper into that business to make sure that you're building the relationship with everybody that works there.
Uh-huh. And on a personal level, that's quite rewarding for you by the sounds of it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I do. I love my job. Mm-hmm. I love building relationships with people, getting to know people. And I think that's what I love about my role in terms of anything that they're wanting and needing. And we can deliver that at our hotels. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like doing.
Brilliant. So good old-fashioned customer service.
100%. I think my LinkedIn says I'm customer service obsessed. Uh-huh. And I absolutely am.
Yeah, so many businesses are lacking that today, I think, aren't they? Cheryl, what's your experience of customer service at the moment, good or bad?
Oh, in the construction industry, I'm not quite sure how to answer that. customer is king, that's all, you know, and likely in it, my business is all about relationships as well.
Uh-huh. Brilliant. Okay. So, Lynette, you've been in hospitality, I think. Is it fair to say pretty much all of your kind of working career?
Yeah, just a couple of years, Martin.
Just a couple of years.
All of my career. I started off as a waitress at Chimneys, which I think is on Goddington Park now. I think it's still called Chimneys. Mm. A commie waitress, and I still can tell you how to make a banana split.
Wow. One of my favourites, I have to say. So what is it about the industry that kind of just, I don't know, is you? Is it because it's a people business? Is it all about relationships? Why does it suit your personality?
Definitely. I think you've answered the question there for me. It is about building relationships. It's about customer service, about, you know, somebody wanting something, you listening to what they want and you delivering it, and then, you know, at the end of the day, achieving what they need from it. And I think I just like doing that. I like delivering great customer service.
Yeah, brilliant. So why are we struggling then to recruit young people into the industry today? What is it about the industry that isn't floating their boat necessarily in terms of an aspirational kind of career move?
I'll be honest with you, and probably it's not right because I'm sure there's young people out there not the same, but I think hospitality is hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think that some young folk are a little bit shy maybe of some hard work. And I also think that hospitality is about the people business. It is about talking to people, you know, and not to sound too controversial, but lots of young people spend their time on their phones and they don't have that personal one-to-one touch with people and how to speak to people, have a conversation with people. So I think sometimes that can be quite frightening maybe for a young person to have that as a role. Mm.
So you think the current generation coming through, they're lacking some of those kind of softer kind of people skills that are so important in business today?
Not everybody, but I think definitely some people are,
and would you kind of back that up, Cheryl?
Definitely. I'm just, as you're talking about it then, I'm just thinking about retail as well. You know, when you have to talk to a customer, if somebody's just used to looking at their phone and just talking to their parents, it's very difficult to talk to somebody else. Really, it's difficult enough talking to your parents.
Yeah,
talking enough. Of parents, Martin, hello to your parents who are listening in to you today, to Olive and Peter, Mr. and Mrs. White in Greyshot, Hampshire. He is behaving, but he's dancing like a nutter. So, to let you know.
Hello, Mum and Dad, if you are tuned in. Lovely to have you with us today as well. Lynette, coming back to you on a more serious note, let's talk about the industry in general, if we can now. Yeah. Obviously, we've been through the most torrid time, unprecedented. Frankly, in the last 3 to 5 years. Well, I'm not going to mention the C word, obviously. But, you know, it's been incredibly challenging for all businesses. And in fact, most businesses that are customer facing, I think, are still struggling with the kind of cost of living crisis at the moment. What from your point of view in hospitality, what have been the main kind of changes that have come out of all of this now that we're kind of emerging, I think, hopefully, finally, on the other side of all of this?
I think
what have been the main changes?
Main changes is definitely cost. I think things have hugely increased, obviously, and I think that's... But I think the trouble is that we've obviously had to increase our prices across hotels, and the hospitality, you know, and guests coming along don't quite understand those differences between what we're having to pay and what they're having to pay. Mm. So I think that's definitely a challenge. I think staffing has still been a huge issue. Mm. Might be continued to be, you know, still an issue. You know, it's expensive now to have somebody within the business and to look after somebody. And you've got to have those right people and get that return on investment, really, in terms of you're employing somebody, obviously, to do the job, and you want that customer to come back. And I think staffing and costs are still the main issues that we've had, really.
But I think, you know, there's always been a perception perhaps that, you know, hospitality is a low paid industry, you know, that people can't earn a decent living. But I was watching Sirocco Forte on Laura Koonsberg's show about a month ago, And he was talking about the fact that at Brown's, one of their hotels in London, they pay chambermaids £35,000 a year. And they still can't recruit chambermaids to work at Brown's in London, even on that level of salary.
But that's probably one of the hardest jobs in a hotel, chambermaids. You know, so I think people don't realise, I think that's probably one of the hardest jobs to do. Do you know what I mean? I think reception's hard to do. But I don't think it is a less paid job, really.
Well, I don't think people in London can afford to live in London on £35,000 a year. No. That's probably part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But I don't think, I mean, obviously my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's 18. Mm. She works at the Ashford International Hotel and does breakfast shifts. And she gets paid, you know, yes, it's minimum wage, but she's 18. She gets paid minimum wage for a 22-year-old. So I think it's £10.60 an hour. I think that's gone up to now. Mm. You know, and over the summer holidays, she can earn £1,000. In the summer holidays.
Exactly.
So, you know, for somebody of that age that wants to do and willing to work, I think actually that's quite a good salary. Mm-hmm. My first job was £2.10 an hour.
Oh, mine was £1 an hour.
You are older than me.
I am a little bit.
So the right attitude clearly counts for a lot.
100%.
As it does in all businesses.
That's across all business, isn't it? Whether it's
everything,
or
life, attitude is it's all about.
Absolutely. So the other thing, obviously, that's really hot in terms of a topic at the moment is sustainability. That word is something that's it's used every day in the English language today, but what does that mean from your point of view as a hotel group? How are you kind of embracing the kind of the drive and the need to be more sustainable as a business?
It's massive. I look after a lot of corporate accounts. A lot of corporate accounts now will only stay in hotels if they've got certain, obviously, green attributes with them. So that's really one thing. So I've got a couple of clients and we are actually really moving to the green tourism accreditation. Mm-hmm. So some of our hotels have got silver standards so far and we're just working through to bronze with a few of them. And that's based on, electricity consumption, water consumption. We've spent over £1 million on light bulbs across our hotels, which is just mental to think that we've spent £1 million on lighting, but just to obviously that will help us with costings, but also it's better
energy reduction.
We've turned to wooden key cards, so we're no longer plastic key cards. So there's lots of small things that we're doing to drive green, be more green within our hotels.
So your customers are actually asking you what your green credentials are.
They definitely are, 100%. Mm-hmm. And we have an RFP season, so it used to be just December, but it's a request for pricing. Mm-hmm. That's when all the big corporates come out to us and they'll ask us in terms of what we're offering, what our rates are, that type of thing. But so many questions about green and sustainability now.
That's good to know. Thanks. Good. Well, I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of music. Again, it's chosen by our esteemed guests today. I think we've got a little bit of Take That. Lynette, you were actually at the Take That concert on Friday, weren't you?
Yes, I was. It was amazing.
Was it good?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. I did have a bit of a sore throat because I thought, better save the voice for radio on Monday.
You sound like you've got a bit of a sniffle, so it was obviously a good night. So we're going to play a little bit of music. We've got some Take That, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk with Cheryl. So join us straight after this. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the BizConnect radio show today. We've got two super guests in the studio, as always. We've got Lynette Wood from the Q Hotels Collection. We've just been hearing from Lynette and listening to some of her favourite love songs as well. And we've also got general all-round Kent construction industry guru Cheryl Corsbrook in the studio as well. So Cheryl, let's turn to you if we can. A bit like Lynette, really. You're a sort of lifelong construction
Since I left school at 16, I've been in construction, yes. Although I did just say that one of my first jobs was in hospitality. I was a waitress in a restaurant. I didn't get fired or anything. It was just about people. I love the people.
So what was it about construction that kind of, made you think as a school leaver? I mean, that's quite young, isn't it?
Shall I tell you the true reason?
Yeah, do.
Because my careers teacher told me I was a girl and I couldn't go into construction.
Right. So that was a red flag to a bull, wasn't it?
It was, really. That was a sort of like,
I'll show you.
Off I go. Mm-hmm. You just told me not to swear, so I've been really good. So basically, I enjoyed doing technical drawing. Mm-hmm. I did craft and, CDT, it was called then, with metalwork. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd like to be an architect. That's my interest. And I went off to college. And when I got there, I decided that I didn't want to be an architect because I didn't like the history of building, which I absolutely adore now. Mm-hmm. So I just went in the library and looked in the back of the building magazine and saw Quantity Surveyor, and I liked maths, and I thought, they get paid a lot of money, that's what I'll do. Uh-huh. So that's what I did.
Excellent. And what was the journey to being qualified, as it were, as a QS? Is that a lengthy journey? I mean, architect, I think they'll train for as much as seven or eight years.
Yeah. Go to university. Well, I didn't go down the university route, and I didn't even go down the A-level route, so I left school at 16. I did 2 years full-time at Folkestone College, and then I went off to work, although I had like three or four jobs while I was at college as well, like
Lynette said, it's about working hard to get what you want. I mean, I was lucky enough to be able to buy my own first house at 19. So it was something that, you know, you work hard, you get what you want in life. And for me, going to out to work and doing other things was really important.
So you trained on the job, as it were?
I did,
as
indeed, a QS. Yes. I worked, just worked my way through, did an HNC. I think I had 1 year out, which people call a gap year, I think. And I used that gap year to just work hard. I didn't go away anywhere. And then I did an HNC, and then I went off and did my professional Chartered Institute of Building exams as well.
So, I mean, in terms of kind of careers, there's I think there's lots of similarities between construction and hospitality. You know, what's the challenge in construction of getting young people into the industry? Is it because they're not being, their imaginations aren't being sparked at school? What is it?
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Martin. I think one of the biggest challenges to construction and hospitality and retail is it doesn't look attractive. And at school, it's not something that's, it's almost like, well, if you can't do A-levels, then you'll have to go into construction. Or if you can't do A-levels, you'll have to go into retail or childcare or hospitality. And these industries are looked down upon, I feel. And I just think that we couldn't actually survive in the country at all without these industries. You know, certainly for my my construction industry is mine. It's nobody else's, it's mine. So certainly with construction, I mean, we're here in a building. This building is quite old and could do with some maintenance. But you know, I look around the houses all around us and people living in houses, and I you know, I imagine every single person here woke up this morning, hopefully in a bed, in a house. They've gone on a footpath to school, on a road to work. All of those things are infrastructure in the building. So our industry is so vast, and if we're not attracting enough people into it, how do we continue with it?
And of course, it's not just those core construction skills that we're talking about. You know, as with hospitality, the career opportunities are deep and wide, aren't they?
You know, I mean, they're endless. You know,
it's marketing, it's social media, it's whatever, you know, social value increasingly in construction.
What we did a couple of years ago with Constructing Excellence, which I chair the Kent Club, you was there a couple of weeks ago, is we did made some top trumps cards of jobs in the industry, so in trades and professionals, and we came up with 186 different jobs that are available just within the construction industry alone. And I'm sure it will be exactly the same within catering, within retail, all of those different things. And those options aren't looked at. You know, people think about construction and they think bricklayer, carpenter, plumber, electrician, but then you've got architect, surveyor. Well, there's like six different things. There are 180 other ones. So it's a very vast industry that is desperate for more people.
We say the same when we come to jobs. I go to career festival and I say, what do you think a job is in hospitality? And most school leavers will tell me a receptionist, a chef or a cleaner. There's so many other jobs in hospitality and people just don't understand it.
And you mentioned Kent Construction Excellence, which is one of the groups in Kent that you chair that kind of meets on a quarterly basis, I think, that particular group.
That's right. Construction Excellence is a national club and we are the Kent Club, and we run it a little bit differently to the others because they all meet monthly for networking, whereas we theme the year and this year is about social value. And so we have speakers in talking about what we as an industry are putting back into the community.
And Morgan Sindall were there, a large Ming contractor. I think they turn over more than £2 billion a year, and they were talking about, you know, the skill shortage, the fact that we're going to need another 225,000 extra construction workers by 2027, and nearly 18,000 in the southeast alone, which I think kind of puts it into perspective. How
it
on earth
indeed.
Can we
and
keep
in
the
last the
infrastructure?
20 years that figure has been bandied around every single year. You know, we need 250,000 people in the industry every couple of years. And you know, dependent on which government comes in or whatever, the house building, you know, we talk about recessions, and construction is one of those industries that first into recession and first out, you know. But you know, you look around Ashford, there's tower cranes up, and you look around different places, you know, you can see where the industry is, you know, really, really booming, because there's a lot of work going on.
Well, there is a skills conference coming up, I think, in May, isn't there? I think the Kent Invicta Chamber, in conjunction with some of the higher education colleges in Kent, Mid Kent College, I think East Kent College, are holding a a workshop day, effectively. So,
well, let's hope that all schools will allow their careers advisors a day out to go and see exactly what's needed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the people who are on the ground talking to the children at school, you know, that they need to know what jobs are available, because there are loads available.
Yeah. Well, it is firmly on the local skills improvement plan agenda. If you are interested in that particular event, have a look at the Kent Invicta Chamber website and do register. It is a free to attend event. I think it's being held at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel, up near Rochester, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, somewhere? Well, I was involved with the local skills improvement plan when the Kent Chamber originally, you know, bid for the money with the British Chamber of Commerce. So I know a lot about it. It just needs engagement from employers, really.
Yeah.
And the employers are engaged. They just need the continual engagement of the schools as well.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some of your other roles. We've mentioned the Kent branch of Constructing Excellence, but you also, in conjunction with your other partner in crime, Ella, co-host the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce Kent Construction Focus Group, which meets on a monthly basis. So
yeah,
tell us a little bit about
that. Tuesday of every month. Mm-hmm. It's held at the Village Hotel, and it's all construction. So every facet of construction that there is. So come along and join us at the Village Hotel. Go on to the events the events page on the Invicta Chamber Commerce Kent Chamber's website. Mm-hmm. You can book on. Next week we have Roland Cooper from Considine talking about the nutrients and neutrality, which is a big blocker in the house building at the moment. So yeah, he's got some updates on that.
Very hot potato, definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay, brilliant. Look, I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a bit more music. And when we come back, I'd really like to talk to both of you about your efforts to raise money. Donations with a difference. And Lynette, I know you're walking, well, you call it 100K.
Yeah, as in 100 kilometres. But you do say, when you say you're doing a 5K race or a 10K race, that's how we're talking, you know, our exercise.
Well, obviously, I don't do that. I don't do exercise of any shape or size. So do stay with us, and we're going to play a little bit more of Cheryl's music this time. We've got a little bit of Madonna for you. So we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today. Thank you so much for staying with us. We've got two super guests in the studio. We've got Lynette Wood from Q Hotels Collection and Construction Cheryl Corsbrook with us today. What I'd like to do now, if we can, is talk about your amazing charity fundraising efforts, both of you. I'm going to come to you first, Cheryl. Tell us all about Donations with a Difference, please.
So I'm a volunteer trustee at Donations with a Difference. We are 7 or 8 years old. And there are six of us, and we raise money for, we're a grant making trust, so people can apply to us for grants. And we do, can I tell you a couple of the bits that we've done so that people
please
know?
Do.
So, locally, Wyvern School, we did an interactive projector for their, one of their sensory rooms. So basically the projector can project onto the floor or onto children's, trays on their wheelchairs or onto walls, and they can then move their eyes and or move their hands and everything so that they can use, you know, everything that able people can. We've also done the similar thing for the Rocket Sensory, which is in Tenterden, and they've been lucky enough to acquire a further building, and Donations of a Difference have made a grant to kit out their sensory room for their SEN children. We've got a new board going into the Dover Smart Project. We've got some assistance for Forest School at Moorhall Primary in Folkestone, and Castle Hill Primary at the ball we held at Christmas, which I will talk about in a little while. We donated some money to their breakfast club so that some children could come to school and get breakfast when they get there. And also we had like a reverse auction, and we managed to get £9,000 towards their minibus, which the head teacher uses to go and collect children to come to school, so that they can get there.
That is incredible. Mm. So you're a local Kent-based charity
Causes in Kent. Mm-hmm. People can apply to us at www.dwad.org. So if you know anybody, basically we can get equipment for children or adults that can't get it off the NHS. So we do, although we do, those are some of our bigger grants, we've done car seats or buggies or mobility scooters or electric wheelchairs those kind of things for people as well. One young girl, we managed to get an electric wheelchair for her. She was in a wheelchair, and unfortunately, she lost her, not lost her child. She her baby had to go into care until she was able to look after it. So we bought a mobility electric wheelchair for her so that she could get her
own. That is incredible, isn't it? What a heartwarming story.
I'll be crying all the time.
I know, I'm crying all the time. Yeah, I am.
Now, all of this, of course, isn't possible without money.
No.
So last weekend, yes, we've got to give them a huge shout out. Ella and Martin.
Well, Martin Sandall run the London Marathon for Donations with a Difference. Mm-hmm. Ella ran it with him, and mm-hmm. she ran it for a different charity, but they ran it together, and they came over the line in 4 hours, just under 4 hours, if you take off the time that they when they started, and we've raised £21,000.
Wow. Isn't that incredible?
Plus gift aid as well. Incredible. So that is absolutely outstanding. So yeah, we are so chuffed with that, and they're so thankful for it. So
now, other events that you do in partnership with the Ashford International and Kew Hotels Collection,
so we have
a fabulous ball in November.
We have the Kent Construction Charity Ball, mm-hmm. Which is organised by all of the trustees. It's going to be on the 15th of November this year at the Ashford International Hotel. So please, contact me, cheryl@dwad.org or trustees@dwad.org. The tables are £1,000, and you'll get 3-course meal, you'll get beer, you'll get wine, you'll get entertainment, you'll get loads.
Is it 10 to a table, so 100 quid a head?
Yeah, that's it, 10 to a table. So,
absolute bargain.
This must be your fourth year, is it now?
I think this might be the fifth one, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we did one before COVID, and then I think we've done three. And then, so last year we raised £45,000 for
that
the charity.
That's amazing.
Which is just outstanding. Yeah. Then as well as that, if I can, Martin, we have our construction golf day, and that is at the Cave Hotel. And that is on Friday, the 5th of July this year. And again, if you want information on that, then I'm sure I'm tagged on something because I don't do social media very well. And you can ask me, and we can get there's a four ball there for £500, which includes 3-course meal, beers on the course, breakfast baps. And lots of extras as well.
Amazing.
You've been to that, Martin. You came last year, didn't you?
That's just outside Faversham, obviously.
Yeah, Boughton. Yeah,
Boughton Golf Club. Yeah, Cave Hotel. Brilliant. And Lynette, of course, we were talking about the charity ball there that's coming up in November. You've just hosted one actually a couple of weeks ago for the Lighthouse Charity.
Yeah, that's been at the hotel for many years, and the lovely Teresa looks after Lindsay Gallagher there. So that's been their years. They've raised 100k.
I think they raised £100,000.
That is incredible, really isn't it? Yeah, and of course you'll be hosting again in November this year, DWAD.
Yeah.
And the food, I have to say, is always incredible there.
Oh, thank you.
And it looks amazing that time of year because it's Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, they do go really well out on the old Christmas decorations.
I just hope that, because we're having it earlier this year, so we're hoping, Lynette, I'm just looking at you now, make sure the decorations are up in mid-November. Anyway, we don't mind if they're not. We'll make our own entertainment.
Good job you're not doing it in August. That might be a stretch.
Hello, yeah.
So, Lynette, over to you. Tell us about your amazing 100K...
100-kilometre walk.
Kilometres, not 100... I got confused, Cheryl. I thought she meant she was doing 100,000 kilometres. And I was thinking,
100K
well,
in money is obviously 100.
Yeah, that's right, 100. Yeah. No. It's 100 kilometres.
Yeah, 100 kilometres. It's about 62 miles.
Yes.
It's the South Coast Challenge. And I can't remember if it's from Arundel to Eastbourne or Eastbourne to Arundel. Mm. I'll make sure I'm at the start in the right place on the 7th and 8th September, raising money for Cardiac Risk in the Young, which is a charity that I much loved in terms of a friend lost her brother when he was 23, and we lost a colleague last year from the Kew Hotels Collection at the age of 36. Mm. So myself and my very good friend Michelle Hutchinson, who is a great friend of mine, but she was a great friend of Stacey's as well. We're doing that together next year, and we used to be called the Southern Supremes, the three of us, because we were all south based. So we're doing
this before,
the South Coast.
You did the you've done a couple of walks,
local, wasn't it? Local to Kent.
I've done the Pilgrim's Hospice 55k walk, and this year, strangely, I'm going to do that as a training walk. So I'm still going to do it.
Gosh.
So Martin, you thought she was going to walk 100,000 kilometres.
And
that's
I was thinking, well, when am I going to get around to paying you? Because it's going to take the rest of your life. Well,
Martin thought he could sponsor me when I finished, hoping that he'd be gone by the time I finished.
The guy who's just walked Africa was 17,000 kilometres.
I know, incredible. And he ran
it. And you thought Lynette was going to do it in 100,000 kilometres
exactly.
in a day.
That's how my brain works. Mm. Rubbish.
Bless him. But it's good.
Don't be a QS, Martin.
Should be. It's going to be hard work, but nothing, you know, nothing worth having comes easy, as they say.
So how much are you trying to raise?
Only £1,200, and we've already raised £470.
So shout out for your, is there a Just Giving page?
There is a Just Giving page, but I don't know what it is. I think it's justgiving.com/Southern Supremes.
Okay. So how do you want people to...
I'll share it on LinkedIn.
Yes, do that on the back of the show.
And then obviously anybody can see it on the back of the show.
Brilliant.
That'd be brilliant. Thank you, Martin.
Okay. So what we haven't done is had a shout out for all your respective websites. So give us a shout out for Q Hotels Collection.
It's www.qhotels.co.uk.
Brilliant. And Cheryl, you've got multiple websites.
I have, but I really would only like to say www.dwad.org, which is the charity, which is my passion.
Fabulous. Well, look, guys, thank you so much for coming in today. It's been absolutely amazing to have you in the studio. I can't believe an hour is nearly
so
up. It has gone quickly. Is there anything you wanted to just kind of squeeze in before we say goodbye to everybody today?
I'd like to say goodbye to Olive and Peter in Grayshot, Hampshire. Mr. and Mrs. White, we've looked after him. He's looked after us, and we hope you've enjoyed the show.
Fabulous. Well, thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. As always, we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time with two more fabulous guests. But for the meantime, thank you, Cheryl and Lynette, for being with us today.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Martin.
It's been a wish of ours to do this together, because Lynette and I have been friends for over 20 years.
You've been amazing. And we've got a little bit more music to play you out. We've got some more Take That and a bit more Madonna. But we'll be back with you in a couple of weeks' time. So take care, and we'll speak to you again soon.